Just cool things. You want to switch over to the PC, buddy? Cool. Well, hey, by the way, I hope you guys are excited for the weekend, MMX. If you don't know what MMX is, by the way, MMX is 2010, right, in Roman numerals. So that's pretty cool. So if you're wondering, like, MMX, what's that? Well, that's what it is. It's 2010, and it's the weekend. And all I have to say is that you guys are going to be blown away by who our speaker is and who our band is. It's going to be so amazing and a great time. So today I have a message for you called Wireless 1G Coverage. So get your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 6, and I want to pray for you while we get started. Lord, thank you. God, maybe there's some people in here, Lord, who have a wrong idea of prayer, Father, that perhaps just by praying you're satisfied, or that, God, that we can't be honest in our prayers, Lord, that we can't come to you and say, I'm hurt, or I'm in pain, or I don't understand this. God, I pray that we would all know that, Father, there is a right way and a wrong way to pray, but it's never wrong to express our emotions, Father. It's only wrong when our emotions are fake and when they're hidden behind a mask of hypocrisy. So I pray that tonight, Father, we'd start as we start this new little part in our series of Matthew, that we would learn how you prayed and how to pray. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. How many people in here have a cell phone? Okay. Pretty much everybody, like a good majority of y'all. I remember I was a sophomore in high school when I finally got a cell phone. Get this, my dad gave me a cell phone. He gave me 60 minutes per month. Dude, that's 15 minutes a week. Most of you guys can blow through an hour's worth of talk time in a day, right? And cell phones have come a very long way, and if you don't believe me, check out this beast. Yikes! I want to meet that guy in the corner. That guy looks cool, right? Look at that cell phone, though. Imagine trying to put that in your skinny jeans. Imagine trying to put that in your back pocket, right? It would never work. Now, back when I first received a cell phone, the signal wasn't even digital. It was analog. So the quality was junk. So different from the iPhone, right? So different how far things have come in just a couple of years, right? And even the iPhone has come a very long way. The first iPhone that came out was the 1G, meaning the iPhone first generation. Then quickly it turned to the 2G, the 3G, the 3GS. Now Apple fanatics like myself, we're looking forward to the 4G that's coming out in June, right? Which will be amazing. But you see commercials all the time. You see AT&T versus Verizon, Sprint versus T-Mobile, all claiming that they have the best wireless coverage, that you can talk more with more clarity and less dropped calls. Well, I hate to tell you guys, but the best wireless coverage was not created by AT&T. No, it wasn't created by Verizon. Nope, it wasn't created by Altel. Not Sprint, not Cricket, not T-Mobile. The best wireless coverage was not made by man, but was made by God. Today we're going to talk about a wireless coverage plan that we all need. It's called prayer. Because long before the internet, long before cell phones, our God, the one and only God, hence the 1G, one God, was using wireless communication to speak to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the rest of everybody else, including us today, you and I. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to spend a couple of weeks on this topic of prayer. We're going to study, all right? Because the Bible records 650 prayers. So obviously it's a big deal. Warren Wiersbe, Bible commentator, said, prayer should be as normal to a Christian as breathing is to a mammal. Prayer is best described as communion or communication with God. And that's the point of a cell phone, right? Right? That whether by text or by voice or by internet, that you can communicate with the people no matter where you are. You're not bound to the wall by a cord. It's wireless. You can talk and you can listen. You know, my phone has a feature where you can check out usage for the entire time that you've owned the phone. So you can see how much you've been talking. It'll only talk about a voice. And so I was on mine because I wanted to see how much time do I spend. I've had my phone for a little over a year, so I looked at it. And mine said that I had the equivalency of 9 days or 216 hours of talk time. That seems like a lot, right? Seems like a lot of time. Well, I thought it was a lot of time too until I grabbed my wife's phone and saw how much that she had, okay? I had 9 days, 216 hours. She had 30 days, 720 hours, and she's had her phone just as long as I have. Well, here's the deal. Those are two very different numbers, right? One was talking more, one was talking less. And I wonder if we could all see our prayer life usage meter, if it would just pop up above our heads right now, I wonder what it would say. How much time we've spent in prayer. I bet we'd have some in here with mere minutes of talk time to God. Some with months, some with years. I really do believe that. Some of you guys are praying out there. So today we're going to look at three general aspects of prayer. Next week we're going to see the specifics of prayer. We're going to see Jesus himself actually pray to the Father. But today we're going to see three really generic things. One is that prayer is private, I'm sorry, personal before public. The second is prayer is quality before quantity. And the third is prayer is spirit before spoken. So let's read the whole passage like we usually do before we get into our first topic. We're going to be chapter 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they'll be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask of him. So the first one is called, our first point is called personal before public. I heard of this story about a dad and his son. The son was about 6 years old, and he decided to take his son into the main sanctuary for church, right? And so they're sitting there, and the son is kind of acting up a little bit. So the dad, of course, is like, hey, quiet down, all right? And he's like, oh, yeah, okay, dad, whatever. And so church service goes on, and he begins distracting other people again. The father can see that people are looking at him. They're looking at the dad like, hey, take care of your son. So he looks at his son, and he says, two strikes, all right? Third strike, you're out, all right? So sure enough, a couple minutes goes by, and the kid starts acting up again. So the dad says, I told you, three strikes. So he picks him up, and he's about to take him out of the sanctuary, and right before they get into the foyer, the little six-year-old boy screams, pray for me to the whole church, right? Well, that's a guy who communicated with people before he communicated with God. Let's look at verse 5 again and see why our prayers should be personal before public. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees you in secret will openly reward you. So for those of you who were here last week, you're probably noticing some reoccurring themes and some reoccurring words. Last week we talked about giving. Jesus said, beware that you don't do your charitable deeds, beware that you don't help people out simply for the sake of being seen by men. Because that makes you a hypocrite, right? And last week we defined that word hypocrite in the Greek, and we said that a hypocrite to them meant an actor, right? That they didn't give out of love or sincerity to God, they only did it so people would praise them. And so here in verse 5 and 6, Jesus is warning us this time to not be hypocrites, not in giving, but this time in our prayer lives. The Jews held prayer higher than any other religious group in the world, you guys. They held it higher, more higher than even doing charitable deeds. The Jews have two types of prayer. Let me show you this. One is called the schema, okay? So the schema was a prayer that was to be done in the morning before third hour, or that would be before 9 a.m., and before the evening, which meant to be done before 9 p.m. It was three passages of Scripture. If you guys are taking notes, you might want to maybe tomorrow do the schema, so I'll tell it to you. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 through 9, Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 21, and Numbers 15, 37 through 41. So that was the first prayer, the schema, done twice a day. The second one was called the Schemone Esrei, which means 18, okay? So this was 18 prayers that even today they still use in synagogue service. And they would say these 18 prayers three times a day, morning, noon, and night. And the prayers weren't the problem, right? The prayers were fine. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. The problem, as we see much in Jesus' teaching, It's the people and their heart behind what they're doing. The problem is the people, and it's for two reasons. First, people were saying these prayers out of superstition. How many of you guys have ever crossed your fingers like when you saw a black cat or something like that, right? It's pretty normal to do that, right? When I was younger, I remember I did that. Or when you walk under a ladder, you're like, I'm cursed, right? Or maybe when you drop the salt shaker, you take a little salt, throw it over your right shoulder. I remember when I was a kid, I actually once broke a mirror. And it was like devastating to me, right? I was like, 7 years of bad luck, right? I like woke up the next morning like prepared to get an F on my test, prepared to break my arm playing ball, prepared that my dog would die, right? I was just like, here we go, 7 years, let's count it down right now. I got a lot of stuff to do, right? And I was just expecting that was going to happen. But that's ridiculous. But the same thing was going on back then. There was people who were praying simply for the sake that they thought, if I do it, God will give me some sort of luck, and if I don't do it, I'm going to get some sort of bad luck. Maybe they thought that their like flock of sheep would run away in the morning, right? Or something like that. And so people thought that they would do it just out of superstition. Another problem they had was that they were also praying in the temple because they thought that the temple was like God's house. They thought, man, I can't like pray at my house. Like I need to go to God's house. They thought that God was more present in the synagogue and in the temple than in their very own house. That's lame. My friends, God is just as near to you here in this room, at church, at Calvary, as he is in your car on the way home from church, as he is on the moon. Should you ever get a chance to get onto the moon, he's there too. Acts 17:24 says, "The Lord who made the heavens and the earth does not dwell in temples made by human hands." Meaning, if you want to talk to God, you don't have to come to here to Velocity or here to Calvary. You can do it too here because he is here with us as well. But God is omnipresent, meaning he's all places at the all times. Another thing that the people were doing was the people's were praying on the corners of the streets. Now, the word for street here, it's not just a normal street. It's a street that means it's a busy street, it's a large street, it's a crowded street. Remember I told you guys that there were certain times that the Jews would pray throughout the day, 9 a.m., noon, and 9 at night? Well, if you were out and about and it happened to be 9 a.m. or 9 p.m., you had to stop right where you were and say your prayers. That's what they believed. Now, this wasn't the problem. It wasn't as if you couldn't go somewhere until after prayer time. That was fine. The problem was that the people, the hypocrites, they would go around the busy places around prayer time. They would plan it out. So think about this. If it took you, say, 30 minutes to get to the market, and the market was a very busy place where a ton of people were, and you had to say your prayer at 9 a.m., then the hypocrites and the actors, the scribes, the Pharisees, they would all say, oh, I'm going to leave at 8:30 then. And then just show up at the most crowded, busy intersection right at 9 o'clock and just say, oh, it just happened to be prayer time, everybody. And so they would stand on the corners of the streets and pray so that people would say, man, you're so holy. Look at you. You just remember right at 9 o'clock to pray all the time. Man, you're so righteous, such a person of God. And just like we saw last week, God says, hypocrites get no reward from me. Their reward is the praise of men. So let's look at the verse 6 and see how to not pray like a hypocrite. But when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. Let me explain something here. I don't want any of you guys in here to think that public prayer is bad, because it isn't. I mean, we pray all together a lot sometimes, right? I mean, just before this sermon, I technically prayed in public. I prayed out loud, right? And when you're at school, it's okay. You can still pray before meals. You can still pray at your Bible study after school. It's not to be seen as a bad thing. There is a couple dangers, though. And one of the dangers is this. If we first pray in public just to be seen as a Christian or just to be seen as holy. This happens, believe it or not, you guys. There is some people who literally just want to go to prayer time so that they can just pray and everyone will be like, man, you're like the best prayer ever, right? It really happens. And just to draw attention to themselves. That's the first danger. The second danger is this. If we pray more in public than we do in private. There's nothing wrong with praying in groups. But here's the deal. We should be praying a lot more alone in private than we do in public. Why? Well, because Jesus just said so. We just read it. He says, when you pray, notice he says when you pray. He didn't say, hey, if you decide you want to pray, or hey, every now and then when you pray, think about this. He says, when you pray, go into your room and shut your door. So public prayer isn't wrong, but personal, alone prayer to God should come first. Now, maybe you're thinking, what's the difference? What's the difference? It's all prayer, right? Well, if you pray alone, it shows that you are dependent on God, even apart from the church, even apart from your family and your friends. You know, so many times, you guys, we're like willing to tell everybody in our entire lives our problems. We're like, hey, did you hear what I'm going through? Hey, did you hear what I'm going through? And like every passing person that goes by, we're like, let me just tell you everything that's going on in my life. But we have yet to tell God. And if God is Lord of our lives, then we should bring our fears, our hopes, our requests to him first. Because he's the only one who can really do anything about it. Sure, it's nice to tell your friend and to get comforted by them, but God's the only one who can change your outcome. Then, after you have prayed to your Father alone, God, then go tell people, then go tell others, then go pray about in public, then tell your friends, then let them lift you up in prayer, right? But when you pray in private before you pray in public, it shows that you really do believe that God hears your prayers, that you're not like those people, those people we talked about who feel like, oh, I can only pray at velocity because God is more close here and I get that great feeling that God is close. No, you can pray in the privacy of your own room. Or two, maybe you just want to pray in public so that people will look at you and you'll be able to gain sympathy from them. And they'll say, oh, poor you. Man, your life is so hard. Man, let's all pay attention to this person, right? There's people that do this. Maybe that's one of you. The idea here that Jesus is really portraying, you guys, is pray in private first. Now, what if you're at school? Does that mean you have to wait till you get home? No, doesn't. It means you should pray before school, right? And then you should pray whenever else anything comes up in the day. And as you're going throughout the school day, pray in the most private place you can. That may be in front of everybody. That may be the most private place, okay? But you can pray in a room full of people without them knowing everything that you're going through. You can sit there right in your own head and pray to the Lord. Notice Jesus didn't say, when you pray, get on your knees. Or when you pray, lay down. Or stand up. Or put your face to the ground. Right? He didn't say that. He said, when you pray, pray in private. Because you should be as holy or more holy alone as you are here at church. Think about that. Because if you're nicer here at church than you are at home, or your thoughts are purer at school than they are at home when you're alone in your room, then that means you're a hypocrite. You're putting on the mask, so to speak. You're an actor. Because if you believe that God is everywhere and all-knowing, then you know that the things you do alone are the same things you do on a crowded street. God knows everything. We see Jesus many times in Luke 11, Mark 14, that Jesus would get up early in the morning and pray and meet the Father. Or second, we'd also see Jesus stay up alone in the night and pray by himself. Private prayer was important to Jesus. And he's our example, right? So we should look to him. And as we spoke about, God rewards those who are humble. The Bible says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So to receive a reward from God is only for those who seek God in private first. Those who are the same alone as they are in public. And this is why it's so important, you guys, to greet God in the morning afresh. Before you get bogged down with work and chores and parents and friends and everything else that happens in a normal day of life, right? And pray throughout the day and into the night. When you guys go to bed, release all your burdens, man. Release all the anger that you went through in the day. Don't go to bed with that. Because you see, God looks at your heart. He wants a pure heart. And God doesn't look at his watch to see how long you're praying, which brings us into our next point called prayer is quality before quantity. Great pastor, old school pastor, Charles Spurgeon. I think I got a picture of him. There you go. I like that shirt. If you guys find that shirt, I want that shirt. But a great old pastor, Charles Spurgeon, said this: some brethren pray by the yard, But true prayer is measured in weight, not in length. And this is what Jesus is getting across here in verse 7. Let's read it. "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." So, as we spoke about earlier, we said that the scribes and the Pharisees, they were people who wanted to just be seen praying. Their prayers were not from the heart. They were the same prayer every day. They thought, as long as my prayer is long, then God will hear me. In fact, one guy, Rabbi Levi, said, "Whoever is long in prayer is heard." Well, that doesn't make sense, right? Because right here, Jesus is saying in our text the opposite. Once again, these scribes and Pharisees, their heart is completely wrong. They thought that praying meant a long time. But that's far from the truth, because God is more concerned about the quality of your prayers, you guys, than the quantity. Now, this doesn't mean that long prayers are bad, by the way. It means that it's all about the heart. It means if you want to pray for a good time or for a long time, good for you. Do it. But don't think that God loves you more or God is more prone to answer your prayer in the way you want him to simply because you prayed for a long time. You see, God wants sincere prayers, prayers from the depths of your soul. It doesn't mean that you can't pray for the same things, because we see many times throughout Scripture that we're called to pray fervently. And we see people like Paul continuously praying for the same things. But he wasn't doing that out of vain repetition. He wasn't doing that because he thought, well, if I just tell God enough times, maybe he'll finally come through for me. He didn't say that. He said it because these things were really on his heart. These were the things that he truly desired to see in his life. One person once said, "Thoughtless prayer is offensive to God." I heard a story about this guy named Bill. And Bill went up to the pastor every Sunday for 17 weeks. And Bill was like, "Hey, pastor, can you pray for me?" And the pastor, and he didn't say much more than that. And the pastor was like, "Yeah, for sure." He's like, "Cool, yeah, would you just pray for me?" Every Sunday, 17 weeks. And then after the 17 weeks went by, the pastor never saw him. And he's like, wonder whatever happened to Bill. And then one day later on, he saw Bill in line at the coffee shop. And he said, "Hey, Bill, how you been, man? I haven't seen you in a while. Did the Lord finally answer your prayer?" And he said, "No, actually, on the contrary, he didn't. The Dallas Cowboys didn't make the playoffs." Right? Here's a guy who has thoughtless prayer. For 17 weeks, that's the length of the football season. For 17 weeks, he had somebody praying for his football team. Right? That's offensive prayer, right? That's not heartfelt prayer. And sometimes, you guys, we pray without thinking. We shouldn't just throw up the same prayer that we have. We should examine our lives, examine our hearts, and pray from there. Pray from the depths of our heart. I'll be honest with you guys. I catch myself many times starting my prayers the exact same way. "Oh, Lord, thank you for this day." And it's like, I just realize like every like day, "Oh, Lord, thank you for this day." And I may change the content after that, but it's like every time I use the same thing. And so we got to be careful of those things, because we're just creatures of habit. We like routine. And so sometimes we can just, without even knowing it, regurgitate the same prayers we've been doing for a long time. Remember, there's nothing wrong with long prayers or similar prayers. But just don't ramble off the same prayer that you feel like, "Hey, it seemed to work before," right? I was on the internet yesterday and I came across an article that said, it was an article comparing generic Oreos, which are called kiddos, to the real Oreos. And they did a taste test, and the overwhelming majority of people said that the Oreos, the original, the real, the brand name Oreos, had a much richer flavor and a more quality and consistent product all the way across the board. And as I read that, I thought, hey, what a great example for prayer, right? Don't give God the generic stuff, right? Don't give him that stuff that no one really wants. Give him the good stuff. Give him the good, the flavorful stuff. Give him those kinds of prayers, the quality stuff, okay? That's what he wants. Someone once said, there's a big difference between saying prayers and praying. So true. And that's what Jesus means here. So let's look at our last topic called prayer is spirit before speaking. You know, I don't know if you guys have ever seen Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? You guys ever seen Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? It's on. It's like always on Monday at 1 o'clock when I'm like, I've got nothing to do. Millionaire, right? You know what I mean? And if you don't know what it is, you have to answer some questions to get to $1 million. And if you can answer all the questions, you can get to $1 million. And you get three what are called lifelines, though. And one of them is like you can poll the audience for the question or the answer to the question. One of them is you can ask a friend. And then they have this new one where you can ask an expert. So if you get like a math question, they'll get like a mathematician on the line for you right there. Like, how cool is that, right? That you can go to somebody who's an expert for the answer to your problems. Well, that's exactly what prayer is. We get to go to the expert for the answer to all our problems. And the best thing is he already knows what we're going to ask, which is very cool. Let's look at verse 8. Therefore, do not be like them, speaking of the hypocrites and the heathens and the fakes. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. You guys never forget this, okay? When you come into the Bible and you're like, man, I don't understand that. Okay, remember, God is the highest, the loftiest of all subjects, okay? Rocket science, philosophy, they ain't got nothing on theology, okay? The study of God. God is, he's God. How could there be a greater subject to study than God? So don't be afraid if you come to something and you're like, what? Don't worry. God's a very, there's very simple things, right? Because God made the gospel very simple for us and very easy for us to understand because he knows who we are, right? God said, hey, sin deserves death. Jesus, who's God and was sinless and therefore deserves no death, died in your place. That's pretty easy. That's the gospel right there. And although prayer is easy to understand, why God chooses to use it is a bit more difficult. In our text, we just read that God says, I know everything you need before you ask. Well, you probably your question is probably this because it was mine. Well, if God knows everything, then why pray? Just seems to make sense, right? Martin Luther, the reformist, said, in prayer, we instruct ourselves more than we instruct God. You see, yes, God knows what we ask for, but he wants to know if we, as believers, know that he knows. When you come to God and you make a request in your heart, it shows something, okay? It shows that you believe that God is a real person, that you believe that he is actually able to communicate with, okay? And so in prayer, we learn to submit to God's authority. We learn to say, I know you know what I want, but even if you don't get it, how will I react? That's why we pray. Let me tell it to you like this. I heard a story, and this kind of helped me a little bit. There's this girl, and she went up to her dad and said, Dad, I really want to play the flute. Maybe you're like, flute? Okay, this was this other girl. You can substitute flute for whatever it is you like to do, okay? And so she says, Dad, I really, really want to play the flute. And he's like, okay, tell me why. Well, because I really want to do this, and I want to play it, and I just really feel like I would be good at it. And she kind of made her request to the dad, kind of like we make requests to God, right? And so the dad said, okay, I'll weigh it all out, and I'll give you my answer. And so he thought about it, and he said, you know what? Man, he looked into it. Flutes are like $5,000, dude, like a legit flute. I looked it up today. It's like $3,000 to $5,000 for like a legit flute. You're like, really? So he's like, you know what? If my daughter really wants to play the flute, then she'll be happy with a recorder. You know, little recorder, like $15 recorder. Probably all played them in music class, right? Probably all hated them too, right? But here's the deal. And so he gave her the recorder instead of the flute. You see that? And so the same goes for God. He knows our requests, but it doesn't mean that he's merely a genie. It doesn't mean we say, God, I want a flute. Here's your flute. God, I want this. Here's this. Right? We come and we ask in submission like the daughter asks to the father, and we see and say, God, whatever you want to do with this, you take it because I believe you know what's best for me. Just like that little girl, God, Dad, if I can play the flute and you will do this for me, right on. And if you don't, then I'll still love you. You're still my dad. And even though you pray for a flute, so to speak, or you get a recorder instead, are you going to be bitter about it? Or when you pray at school that person that you really like would go away and you're like, God, please just, I don't know. I mean, can that person just like have to move or something? Can that person like, I don't know, fail a class and get held back or something like that, right? But instead of that, instead of God answering your prayer in that way, maybe he says, hey, instead of that, I will give you patience with this person. I will give you long suffering for this person. I will give you eyes to see this person as I do with love. Well, then the question is, do you really believe that God knows what's best for you then? Are you willing to say, yeah, Lord, you must know the best answer. Even though this is what I think I need, you know better. And sometimes our prayer lives can be very superficial, you guys. And that's why God, knowing what's best for us and making the best decisions for us, by his very Spirit, God prays for us too. This is the Spirit before the speaking part that I'm talking about in this point. That even before we speak a word of request to God, that he already knows our needs. How reassuring is that? Listen to this. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know how to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words can't express. So when you guys are born again, the Bible says that the Spirit of God dwells within you. And it says right here, and God just said it, Jesus just said it too, and it says it in Romans, that the Spirit of God itself is making requests for you. And that's how God already knows what you need before you need it. But it still all works together, you guys. God still calls us to pray and pray often. Jesus says, whatever you ask for in my name, I will give you. Okay, the key is in my name. This means according to what Jesus would want in your life. It doesn't mean I need a PlayStation, new phone, new clothes, and $40 in Jesus' name, right? It doesn't mean that. And then you start looking around for your stuff. Because it shows a lot, you guys, when you come to God in privacy and you pray for godly things. It doesn't mean you can't ask for those things by all means, but they shouldn't dominate our prayer life. But it shows maturity, you guys, as a Christian. It shows that you believe that God has the power to answer your prayers. And by the way, if you guys think that God can't answer your prayers, then what are you praying for? If you guys think that God really can't change you or change your situation, you have to come in faith. You need to come in faith and say, God is big, man. God can change my heart from selfish prayers about myself and about my wants and change them into godly prayers for the lost and the unsaved and my family and even those people that I don't like that much. And then when you pray for those things, know that God knows what's best for you, even if you don't receive what you think you wanted. Listen, God wants to answer prayer. But remember, he will answer it according to what is best for your spiritual growth and best for his kingdom. Jesus says, when you pray in secret, God blesses you. He will reward you. But remember, it's not always going to be with gifts and physical things. And maybe sometimes it will be. We're all wearing clothes. We all have stuff. God has obviously blessed us with things, right? But it means much more than that. It means that he's going to bless you with joy, peace, purpose, and love. Prayer, you pray so you can search your own heart to see if your desires are those of God's desires for you. And if they aren't, then guess what you do? If today you've realized, man, my prayers are pretty selfish. I haven't been praying for anybody. I've been praying for pretty vain things. I've been just throwing up prayers. Then guess what you need to do? You need to just repent. You say, God, as I look at my heart, I see a lot of selfishness. I see a lot of things that you just have told me that I shouldn't do in this in the Bible that we've just read. Would you change my heart? Simple. Many times when Jesus would pray, he would say, Father, your will, not mine. He would lay out his fears. He would lay out his requests. He would lay out his hopes, all like we do in prayer. And then he would say, but God, if there's anything in how I'm asking this that's wrong, that you don't think I should have or I shouldn't be doing, then Father, your will above mine. Even when you pray for what you think you need and you don't get it, remember, then God just obviously knows what's best for you and you don't need that thing. You can live without that thing. As much as it's painful and you really want it, God says you can do it with you can do without it. So God knows what you really need. And prayer is to see if you trust God in that area. If you believe that he can make things happen. And it's to see if your heart is aligned with his. Because the sign of a mature Christian is one whose prayers for themselves are the same desires that God himself has for you. That's spiritual maturity. Next week, you guys, we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer. You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're going to look into that prayer that Jesus himself prayed. We're going to take that apart and see how we can apply it to our lives. But so nice to know that God's reception isn't like a cell phone, right? For all of you guys in here who have accepted Jesus into your life, guess what? No matter where you are on this earth or outside of this earth, should you make it, you have 100% wireless coverage, 100% access to the one true God. You know the only time when God doesn't get good reception? I'll tell you. It's for those who have yet to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Bible says God turns his ear to those who hide sin on their hearts. So God's wireless plan doesn't cover those who don't put their faith in Jesus Christ. People who hide sin on their hearts have no coverage no matter where they are. But guess what? That can change right now. God hears the prayers of the repentant, those who say, God, I want to be able to talk to you all the time. I want to do it your way. Forgive me. Come into my life and show me how real you are. Change me into the person you've always wanted me to be. God, will you forgive me of anything I've done wrong? And maybe somebody in here who hasn't given their life to the Lord is saying, but I've done some messed up stuff. The Bible says, whoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever. Okay, it says whoever. That means everybody. You know, as believers, we make up the church, right? And I want to leave you with this last quote. I read a quote and it says, the last thing the church needs today is more machinery or a new group or a new organization. It needs more people who the Holy Spirit can use, mighty men and mighty women of prayer, because God does not anoint plans, but God anoints men and women of prayer. I hope you guys all have God coverage. I hope you guys all have the peace of knowing that God is just a phone call away. He's right with us right now, and that God is always available. He has no voicemail. I'm going to have Johnny come up and play one last song for us, you guys, while I pray for you. But we have 5 minutes, you guys, 4 minutes. I just want you guys to think about your prayer life maybe in this last song and just ask God to forgive you if there's something wrong or if there's something you want to pray about with one of us. Say it to the Lord first and then come find one of us leaders and let's pray together, all right? Father, thank you so much. God, thank you for instructing your people, Lord. And God, I pray that we wouldn't just have the same old prayers, Lord. God, we're all so guilty of just doing things in routine. And so many times we like to do that, Lord. We put things in routines and our whole day is mapped out. But I pray that, Father, over the things that we've looked at in the last 2 weeks, I pray that, number one, Lord, we would be people who are charitable, Lord, just as you call us to throughout the day. And number two, God, that we would bring everything to you in prayer and that we would know that, Father, you answer prayer. It isn't as if when we don't get what we want, you haven't answered the prayer. No, you have answered the prayer. The answer is no, and or maybe wait and slow down and wait for it. And God, we know that everything you do is for our best interest, and so we believe that. We really do. And Father, I just pray that you would just give us true hearts. Let us not be like the hypocrites who are out there only for a show or out there because we think if we pray that you'll just be happy with whatever we have to say. God, let us remember you demand You demand quality, Father, not quantity. We love you. In your name.